Turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 2. Page 402 in your pew Bible. I'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Hear now God's holy word from Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. A few weeks ago, we as a family did something for the first time. It was a special thing that we call Spring Happy Day. And what it is we gather up some presents for the kids, and I write a poem, a treasure hunt, and we hide these gifts in our house and in our property, and we wake up one Saturday morning, and to their surprise, we have this treasure hunt. And the kids, this is the first year we did it. I did this growing up. It's kind of a family tradition. And the kids quickly realized that at the end of this clue, there would be gifts. And they became very eager to find the clue and to discover where these gifts were hidden. And they listened attentively to my words, which was a poem they had to figure out. And we went from clue to clue, gift stash to gift stash, and they were very eager to search for it because they valued what was at the end of the clue. And these ideas, searching for something, valuing it, listening carefully, are some of the things that we're going to be looking at tonight in this passage. I want to speak to you on the idea of obtaining wisdom and how we do that, and some motives to search for it. And what we learn in tonight's message is that if God's people will use the means to obtain wisdom, then they will obtain it and they'll benefit from it because the Lord will give it to them. If God's people will use the means to obtain wisdom, then they will obtain and benefit from it, for the Lord gives wisdom to them. So first, verses 1 through 4, the means to obtain wisdom, or simply how to obtain wisdom. There are four means. Two of them are practical and to the point, and the other two permeate our whole life. The first one is we obtain wisdom through the Word of God. Look at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. Now, the first words here are my son, and I want to connect this to you. You may be a woman here tonight, but this passage still speaks to you. Because really what's going on here in this book is Solomon is addressing a covenant child, his own son. But the author of Hebrews, as I've mentioned this before, sees a connection to the church, who are the heirs of the inheritance. Hebrews 12, again, verse 5 says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you," that is the church, "as to sons." And then he quotes a proverb that begins with, "My son." So this is a passage of Scripture for you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who trust in Him for your acceptance with God, and are going to Him as your King and as His Word as your rule of life. And the Solomon says, "If you receive my words and treasure my commands within you." Wisdom comes through the Word of God. This is the same idea as actually mentioned in James 1:21. James and Proverbs have a lot of similarities. In James 1:21, he says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." If we are to have wisdom, then we're going to find it in God's Word. Now, wisdom can be understood in a couple of ways. Wisdom in this context is that using knowledge rightly, the ability to use knowledge rightly, but it assumes a knowledge of God, an experimental knowledge of God, and a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Christ holds all the wisdom. He holds all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we're going to know how to live our life, we're going to find it in God's words. This isn't just the words of parents or the commands of parents, children, but it's essentially referring to all of Scripture. It's through the Word of God. I'm going to come back to that in a bit later. So that's the first practical means. But there's another, and it's prayer. Verse 3, "Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding." What is being communicated here? It's prayer. James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." There have been many times in my life where I have searched the Scriptures for a decision. Take the decision of where I should buy a house. Okay, the Bible's not going to tell me a great deal about that. Now, there's a lot, in some sense, there's a lot to be said there. But it's not going to tell me to go buy a house in Sunnyside. Okay, Proverbs chapter 32, it's not there. Okay, it's not there. But one thing that prayer does is prayer has an ability, is a means whereby the Holy Spirit searches our hearts. Now, I'm not sure really exactly what's on your heart tonight, where you need wisdom. But the question for you is, have you prayed about it? If you're like me, you tend to think about it. There's a difference. And we're called to think, we're called to plan, and we're called to be meticulous and be like God. God is an orderly God. We're to be image bearers of Him in that sense. But we also should pray. We should cry out for discernment. And speaking just from experience, oftentimes the ministry of the Holy Spirit in prayer brings to our attention really what we need to be thinking about, or really what's going on in our heart. I was speaking to a man not associated with his church who's having difficulties with his children. And he's having difficulties parenting young teenagers. And I was encouraging him to pray to find out a way to connect and to really practically love his teenage children. And he reported to me recently that in prayer, he discovered what he should do. It was something very simple. He was going to go do something with him. And it was just something that the Holy Spirit brought to his mind as he reflected on his life, reflected on God's Word, and the Lord used that as a means. The Scripture and prayer. I'm going to come back to that, but those are two practical means. Now, there's two other means mentioned here that are more general. Okay, more general. Verse 2. Verse 2 teaches us that wisdom comes through diligent effort. Diligent effort. Verse 2 says, "So that you incline your ear to wisdom." Now, that's an interesting image. The first line and the second line are essentially the same thing, but Inclining your ear refers to you have some options. You know, you can listen to the world, you can listen to falsehood, or you can listen to God. And it takes someone consciously turning their ear and inclining their ear to the Lord. It takes effort, a conscious decision. And apply your heart to understanding. If you really want to get good at something, you have to try. You have to apply yourself. Every Olympic athlete has, in some sense, a God-given ability to be that good. But every Olympic athlete also has applied themselves, and they've trained, and they've exerted themselves, and they've attempted with diligent effort to achieve it. It takes diligent effort. It also takes, verse 4, another principle that kind of covers a whole life, is whether or not you cherish wisdom. Whether or not you cherish it. Verse 4 picks up on the idea of seeking it, or applying, having effort. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. But the focus here isn't so much on the effort that a search takes or that our seeking takes, but the price tag that someone has placed on it. Wisdom is more valuable than gold. We read in Job 28. Talking about wisdom, verse 12, but where can wisdom be found? It cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it. And so on. Talking about money. There's a lot of wealthy people that can't buy health, and they can't buy wisdom. It's more valuable. Knowing how to live our life and knowing God is more valuable than even those things. We need to have that price tag. It needs to be more valuable than even money and silver and such. When we were in Los Angeles this past Lord's Day, Pastor Adam Keener, he's a pastor of church in Michigan, south of Michigan. We were about to leave the church building in L.A., and he discovered he didn't have his wallet. What do you think we did? We scoured that church. And he was nervous, and he was looking, and everyone else was like, you know what? This isn't a pair of socks or a pencil or something. You know, I mean, this is important. This is valuable. So we are going to search for it. And that is how we approach wisdom. All of you tonight have questions on your heart, questions on your mind. Where am I going to go to college? That's a wisdom issue. Where am I going to live? What house am I going to buy? Okay? These are wisdom issues. And God has given us the Word that we study, and we know, we determine what we can know about our situation. He's given us prayer and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in prayer. We are to try. We are to seek it. And we are to have to value it. This is how we obtain wisdom. I'm going to come back to some of this in a moment. But part of this pursuit of wisdom, that's useful. It's useful to know here, these are the means. These are the how-tos. We also need some motivations. I mean, why should we value wisdom? Well, because it's beneficial. And there are three benefits that we'll look at. Verses 5 and 6, or I'm sorry, 5 and then verses 9 and 7 and 8. So secondly, I want to look with you at the benefits of obtaining wisdom. The benefits of obtaining wisdom. There are three. First is communion with God. Wisdom brings you into communion with God. Verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Now, I'm saying to you tonight that if God's people will use the means to obtain wisdom, then they will obtain it and benefit from it. And I want you to see that there is a promise being made here. If you do these, then this will happen. You will obtain wisdom. Wisdom is defined in verse 5 as communion with God. I said to you earlier in the sermon that, and what I think we have here, wisdom culminates in an ability by the Spirit to use knowledge rightly, but it assumes an experimental knowledge of God. That's what's being communicated here. Understanding the fear of the Lord. If you fear the Lord, then you honor Him. You serve Him as your master. Define the knowledge of God. This is referring to an experimental knowledge. I can say that I know of Jerry Brown, the governor of California. Or I could call him up, because I played high school basketball with him. I didn't play high school basketball with him. But I went to college with him, and I really know Jerry Brown. This is what this is referring to. Kids, children, do you know about God? Do you know about Jesus? Or do you know God through the Lord Jesus by His Spirit? If you study the Bible, children, if you pray, then you will learn that. That's a fruit of such things. Communion with God. And this is valuable. This is valuable. I want you to value wisdom. You're not going to follow through the means if you don't see the benefits of it. Christ says in John 17:3, to know God is eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ. Do you value eternal life? There's two paths. The path of folly leads to eternal death. The path of wisdom leads to Christ and eternal life. It's to be valued, to truly know God. So first, the communion with God. But secondly, and as I've mentioned before already, the knowledge of rightly conducting your human affairs. Wisdom gives you the benefit of knowing how to rightly conduct your human affairs. That's in verse 9. Now, I'm jumping a few verses. I'm going to come back to that. But verse 9 picks up with then. The idea is if you do this, then this is going to happen. You're going to have the ability to conduct your human affairs rightly. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. He's referring to the idea of fairness with men, being able, in all human affairs, being able to conduct yourself wisely, making good decisions. I think of Solomon. Okay, we read that story a few weeks ago where he made a decision between two ladies. And who really owned, who really had, whose baby was really belonged to which woman. He had that wisdom. He knew what was fair, the righteous path, what was equitable. When I was leaving Fresno for Canada this week, I went to the counter, the United Airlines counter, and I had a problem. I booked my flight according to my name on my California driver's license, which is not technically correct. My legal name, you can ask my mom when you see her next, is spelled wrong. My first name is spelled wrong. It's not Samuel, it's Samuel. The E and the U are switched. Well, anyways, my point is this, is that the United representative said she couldn't check me in because your passport is your legal name, the computer reads your passport, and this is someone else. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is a computer glitch. This is not right. Somebody's got to come in here and save the day. Do I raise my voice and make a scene, defend myself, saying this is ridiculous, use common sense, or do I pray and just see what she says and what's the next step? And in God's providence, I didn't raise my voice. And a manager came and just overrode the computer system. And my point is this. How do we live our life? My point is, what's wise? Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know how to conduct yourself with other people? This is what is being said here. You will understand what's right, what's just, what's fair, every good path. This is a benefit of seeking after wisdom. But thirdly, you will find protection from the Lord. And in verses 6 through 8, I'm going to come back to verse 6 speak on verse 6 in a little bit. But he's really talking about verses 6 through 8, why we should seek wisdom from God. He's giving us a ground for seeking after wisdom. But in that, there is a benefit that comes out for the upright, for those who know Jesus Christ by faith and who are walking by the Spirit. And that is protection from the Lord. Notice the second part of verse 7 on through verse 8. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. And the image there is one of protection. Now, we sang Psalm 91. Simon picked that psalm for us. And Psalm 91 is a psalm that refers to God protecting his people. And it's a difficult psalm to understand. I mean, we see how Christians get sick. They face disease. Tragedies happen. Is God really a shield? Does he protect us? Well, he protects us ultimately, for sure. He protects our bodies. We will rise again. But what I think this passage is getting at is talking about how the path of wisdom protects us from great harm. So the idea is this. R.C. Sproul, he wrote a lot of books, right? And he's written some children's books. And in this allegory of the Christian life, he writes this book to children about a knight who's off to the castle to find the king in the castle. It's an allegory of the Christian life, going to heaven. Well, this knight listens to some bad advice along the way, and he goes down a path that looks good at first, but then it wraps around and it leads to a cliff. And right before he was about to fall over, you know, he pulled back the reins. And my point is that if we follow the path of life, God's word and his principles he's set in his word, it's going to protect us from great harm. It doesn't mean that we're not going to get sick. It doesn't mean that we might have something stolen from us. But it's the right path. It's going to protect us from sinful consequences. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice. And in this slide, I want to ask you a question. Do you have a high price tag on wisdom? Do you want this? Again, I know that you are facing decisions right now on what to do in your life. And God has the wisdom. He can give it to you. He can give you wisdom to know how to live your life. And that path is a path of protection. And children, I want to challenge you young kids who are drawing. I want you to listen to me. Do you know your God, the God of your parents? Do you know the God of your parents? If you read the scriptures, if you pray, you can understand the fear of the Lord, and you can find the knowledge of God. And that is a very precious thing. It's the most precious thing, because it is eternal life. Wisdom is very beneficial. I want to speak thirdly and most briefly on an encouragement. I want to encourage you. I've basically so far told you to try hard. What ground do you have that you'll actually become wise? Is it ultimately your effort? There was a day this week where I didn't have my devotion. I was too busy. We make mistakes. We make errors in prioritizing our day. We get tired. I didn't go to the Word and read the Scriptures. I didn't pray. And I know that you've done the same thing. Are you going to be wise, or is it kicked to the side? What ground do you have to hope that you'll be wise? Well, it's in the Lord. And my lesson for you tonight is if God's people use the means to obtain wisdom, then they will obtain it and benefit from it because the Lord gives wisdom. So thirdly, the ground to obtaining wisdom is the Lord. It is the Lord. Verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. There are two reasons why you should seek wisdom from God. The first is that he possesses wisdom. He's the one that has it. Verse 6 says, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He is the fountain of wisdom. Again, Christ, holds all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In him dwell all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I don't refer to this in the sense of Christ, but if you think of wisdom as something that's created, I mean, he created wisdom. I mean, it comes from God. And he stores it up, sound wisdom for the upright. He has plenty of it to give. I was speaking to a man in Iraq who told me, I won't ever forget, he told me he read the whole Bible and he's got it. He figured it out. This is a bottomless well of pure, clean water, spiritual wisdom to drink from. And he has it in store for his people. He's got plenty of wisdom to give. And secondly, he gives it. And that's really my point here. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. He may not give health. He may not give money. But he will give you wisdom. There's a promise here. He's not like, you know, a rich person who has a very big estate, nice cars, bank accounts, but they're very stingy with their money and they don't give it to anybody. God has it, and he also gives it. Again, James 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. My children were, they found all the treasures, by the way. Took them some time. But they really sought for it diligently. And they listened to my words, and they found it. My question for you tonight is, are you searching for wisdom? Is it something that you prize, that you cherish? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your time? And in the question that's in your mind right now, the issue that you have going on in your life, have you really spent some time in praying about it? Not only does prayer kind of filter out, blow away the fog, but just ask God for wisdom and he'll give it to you. He'll give it to you. Let's pray.